on this edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Gordon Whitmire, Tim Stebbins, and I talk about how COVID-19 is affecting the 2021 Cubs. A little bit of breaking news pops into the middle of the podcast, and we address the offensive struggles.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Let's play two.
Welcome to another edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide, with Tim Stebbins and Gordon Whitmire and our great producers, Tony Gill and Joe Collins. I'm David Kaplan. The Cubs are off to a slow start. They're struggling offensively. We will get to that. But the big story around this baseball team, guys, is they've dealt with COVID problems now. Craig Driver and Chris Young and relievers having either contact tracing. We've got all sorts of issues until everybody gets vaccinated. So, Gordon, you're in Milwaukee. What are you hearing about contact tracing and COVID as it relates to the 2021 Cubs?
Well, a couple of things. One that David Ross said during his Zoom today, that among the four players who are on the COVID list, including Matt Duffy, who went on it today, have not tested positive. So they're putting them on there out of a sense of precaution. They've had symptoms of some kind. Now, whether that's allergies, whether that's whether any of these guys have had vaccination shots, and it's some of the temporary side effects that sometimes come with those, or what we don't, or just a guy has sniffles one day, we don't know. But apparently the players have not tested positive. The two coaches, this is the interesting thing to me. Both of them have tested positive, as we already knew. But the interesting thing to me is that Chris Young, the bullpen coach, was fully vaccinated. Now, he had just become fully vaccinated. In other words, got a second shot. And that 2 weeks that they say it kind of takes for that to give you maximum prevention power had not elapsed yet. So whether that has something to do with it, who knows? Craig Driver was in between his two shots at the time he tested positive. Now, it's maybe also worth noting that these are the MLB spit tests, right? These are the higher sensitivity tests. And there's some indication that maybe not all of the kinds of tests that they've done have necessarily come back positive, but they have tested positive, and that's why they're away from the team. It's an ongoing thing. It's a concern, and it really speaks to a lot of the nuances of this.
So as we look at this whole thing, Tim, you know, we'll get into the offensive struggles, and in the end, your record is what your record is, but I think the underlying stories, people don't realize the impact that COVID-19 is still playing on a team that had zero positive tests last year.
Yeah, I mean, this is like we all know. I mean, whether you're the Cubs or you and I, Cap, this is still a serious issue. And it's great that the vaccine rollout is at the place it is right now, but it's still out there. It's still just as serious as it was last year when they had that record where, you know, it's a credit to their strict adherence to protocols. But this is just a reminder, too, that as much as you follow these protocols, positive tests happen. You know, you could follow it like we just said, or you, even if you get the second vaccine, and you could still get it. And I think what I took away from Ross that I thought was interesting at the end of his Zoom today, he said, I didn't want people to assume that everyone was getting put at risk from these coaches who got it. That wasn't the case. And that's why he kind of explained, like Gordon just mentioned, what their process was and where they were at in the vaccine stages.
Yeah, I'll add something else to that too. I talked to a couple of players up here in Milwaukee before the game. Pedro Strop, for instance, says he has gotten his first of two shots. Albert Alzolay said that he's been vaccinated. We already know Javi Baez has been vaccinated. So there are at least a chunk of players that have gotten their vaccinations. And I've been told that while the numbers are still kind of fluid, because again, some of these vaccination processes are in process as we speak, that there's more than 50% of that tier one group that's trying to get to 85% is at least in the process of being vaccinated. So that's an optimistic sign. That probably speaks to a lot of the hopefulness that they've expressed in eventually getting to that 85% mark.
In terms of play, has anybody spoken out and said, I'm not getting vaccinated, I don't believe in it?
I haven't heard anybody come right out and say, I'm not getting vaccinated. Although, and Tim, you can speak to this because I know you've seen this and drawn some of it to my attention, even some of the stuff we've seen online from family members have suggested that some players are definitely against it. Tim, you saw something on there, didn't you?
Yeah. Eric Sogard's wife, that there was social media posts circulating expressing, you know, points about the vaccine and maybe a counterpoint not to get it. And I believe on Cubs Twitter was picking up on this day, Ryan Tapera's significant other was talking about just, you know, how it's a big decision to make and you want to learn all the facts. So I think it's just the bottom line is it's an ongoing discussion with, you know, some of these players and whether they're for it, against it. I think David Bode even said the conversations are happening. Some people are still trying to get more info. Some are for it, against it. They're all respectful conversations, but there's multiple sides to this kind of thing as there is in a larger society too.
Yeah. I personally don't understand not getting the vaccine, but I also have three doctors in my family and all have recommended it. So I feel pretty good with my decision. I am vaccinated now, and I am pleased that I did it. But I also understand there are other people that they come from a different perspective, and they're entitled to that perspective.
Yeah, the thing I have with it is there are legitimate nuances to this, legitimate discussion points and points of debate, I think, that are informed debate. The problem I have is that this, it got politicized, whatever side of the politics you are on this, it got politicized, and that's crazy. I mean, you know, my father's 84 years old and he's of a different political stripe than I am. I got vaccinated. He got vaccinated and he didn't hesitate. And I do think that some of that speaks to his generation. He grew up at a time when vaccines were trusted. They essentially eradicated measles, essentially eradicated polio, some of that in his lifetime. Right. And so I think at a different political time in our country, more people on both sides of the aisle would trust at least the science of it. And that's what I think sometimes gets lost. Now, that said, there's a lot about COVID we don't know. And there was a frantic rush to get some vaccines out there, and they're out there now. But the general science behind vaccinations, it's pretty damn solid and goes back a long way. And it's the pushback on that I think is it is what bothers me.
How much do you think that the club is being affected by COVID-19? I know last year they had zero positive tests and Theo was very pleased with how everybody bought in, but 60 games and 162 are two totally different things. How much do you think their slow start, their offensive struggles are being affected by everything going on with COVID, or that's not an excuse?
What do you think, Tim?
I mean, I think we kind of need to be reminded, like we were last year, that these guys are human too. And I'm not speaking for the Cubs and I'm not going to make an excuse for their offensive start. I don't know if they would do it, but I think we can all agree that on a human level, this is all affecting us. And personally, and it's something on your mind every day. Like David Bodie said on Saturday, after the first coach tested positive, he said, it's not a reminder because this is literally on our minds every day. We're masking every day. We're distancing. This isn't anything new. But, you know, David Ross said this week, guys are masked in the clubhouse. They're still trying to keep good vibes in there. They're watching video before games. They're bumping music. They're trying to keep that positive mindset. But I think we can all agree just that this is something that's affecting everybody, whether you're a Chicago Cubs baseball player or not.
Gordon. Yeah, I don't think it's affecting them on the field. They went through this last year and won a division title. And you know, if there's anything affecting them on the field, it's the quality of their at bats and it's the quality of their pitching, which so far hasn't added up to a hell of a lot. Some of that are questions that we had coming into the season. So those are the kinds of things that if you're a Cubs fan, you should be concerned about, the things that we already had questions about. Other than that, you know, it's a long season and you can afford to wait on some of this stuff, but yeah, I think it's much more likely that some of the strikeouts and the lack of hitting production has to do with guys trying to get off to fast starts and even pressing than it has anything to do with things like COVID.
Okay. So let's talk about where this offense is, because, you know, you look at some of the numbers and I know it's 10 games, but it's not 10 games because we've seen struggles going back a few years, but the first 10 games.
Hey, I'm going to cut you off, Cap, because we got some breaking news here. Kyle Hendricks is not feeling well. And out of an abundance of caution, the team says, they've decided to postpone his start. Alec Mills is starting Tuesday night instead. No word on whether they're going to, out of an abundance of caution, put Hendricks as well on that COVID injured list or not. I imagine we'll find out more after the game.
Wow. So there is some breaking news there. And, you know, you take your number one starter out and put, no disrespect to Alec Mills, he's just not Kyle Hendricks. So there is breaking news that we're just going to have to deal with. And we'll see if he ends up on the COVID protocol list. And hopefully he is okay and he is not affected by COVID-19, but I guess we'll have to let things play out. We were
back to your previous question. If he's on the COVID list, then I would say, yes, COVID is affecting this team on the field.
Yeah, that's a different way to answer it. And we'll just have to wait to see what happens. So let's go back to the topic I was just about to broach when you gave me the breaking news. I would love for you and Kim to give us your thoughts as we look at where this offense is through the start of the season to today. Their numbers are so bad. They're historically bad. I know there's 150 plus games left. I get it. I just don't like what I see. I don't. And I truly think upper management is okay with it. And I'll explain that in a minute.
Yeah, I got a couple points on this. I got a long-winded response. I'm going to start with the most controversial. It is early and they're not going to hit this bad all year. I think we can all agree with that, right? But at the same time, we've seen these issues before where they have a talented lineup and they've kind of been less than the sum of their parts. So I get the fan anxiety and the frustration this early, even though, you know, we can clearly say, like, I don't think the Cubs are going to hit 167 all year. That's obvious, but you see why fans are frustrated. I think a big point here too, is that they don't necessarily have 162 games to get on track. You know, like the Cubs were willing to sell off pieces like Jake Arrieta, potentially Wade Davis, a year after winning the World Series, and they turned it around after a down first half, the hangover. So when you have 18 guys potentially out of 26 in walk years, you don't have really the full year. You don't have 162 to turn it around and not just hit, but get above 500 and be in the division race. So I think that's something that's important to keep in mind here. It's like, it is early and they're not going to hit this bad all year, but they don't have a full year to get on track necessarily.
All right. I think Gordon may be tied up with some of that breaking news. Tim, offensively, they look awful. Javi Baez, I know he got a double in the ninth inning. That was more luck. or incompetence by the pitcher, because he swung at one that was in the opposite batter's box. He swung at another one that was a 56-foot breaking ball in the dirt. And if I was that pitcher, I'd go home, honest to God, and look in the mirror and go, how stupid are you? How do you throw that guy a pitch where he can get his bat on it? That's how unlocked in he looks to me. Gordon?
Yeah, I'm with you, Cap. And one of the things I was going to point out is that's part of the pressing, right? That would be the classic example of pressing. Now, there's two things that are going on here with this team. I do think they're pressing, but I also think that they have been, and David Ross said it before the game on Tuesday. He said, we have talked about being more aggressive early in the count. And of all the people who are going to be impacted by that, I would put my focus on Javi Baez, because if you're telling Javi Baez, get more aggressive, what he's going to do is, you know, you're basically asking him to kind of revert back to a form that was before 2018, 2019, and then adjust. Well, what's happening is he's getting 0-2 really fast. And that pitch that you talked about last night put him 0-2. He had no business hitting that double, honestly. I mean, that it was a hell of a job just getting a bat on that. Which is like his home run he hit in Pittsburgh, right? The one that was 6 inches off the ground. Yeah. So even what he's hitting for extra base hits are pitchers' pitches. They're not good pitches to hit. So I think that'll come back around. But to Tim's point, yeah, we've seen this before. And even when it comes back around, the one thing we can almost be sure of is that we'll see it again at some point, whether that's in the playoffs or a tough stretch in August or whenever. And that's really been the problem here with the style of lineup they've put together.
Tim, a thought on that?
Well, with Javi specifically, this is something that I saw last night. It's been a thing all year with the whole team so far, is like they're getting fastballs in the middle of the zone and they're missing them. This came across my timeline today. It's like weighted on base, Javi zero. And this is fastballs in the heart of the zone. David Bodie's got zero hits. And so does Javi. Jock Peterson, zero hits. Sogard, zero hits. Ian Happ, one. Rizzo, two. It's like they're getting pitches in the middle of the zone. And
yeah, we're talking about one of the worst teams at fastballs in the zone.
Exactly. And like you're talking, like, not only is Javi swinging at pitches that is a ball out of the hand and maybe it's pressing, it's that when, not just him, when they're getting pitches that are middle that they could take advantage of, they're missing them. And that's a big issue when it's not just one guy, it's the whole team.
I truly believe upper management is okay with this. Hey, you guys want to prove us wrong? We're all in. We want to win. But if not, you know what? We're okay with this, because we know then who we're going to sign and who we're not going to sign. And there's going to be a whole slew of new guys here next year.
You know, Cap, you and I were talking about that before, and I agree with you, but I'll take it a step further. It's kind of like, I think we knew that though. I mean, all you had to do was look at the way they spent the first part of the winter slashing the payroll, dumping Darvish, throwing in Caratini into that deal, non-tendering Kyle Schwarber. We knew what they were doing. And then they waited till late to add what they added, put a little bit more in the budget. But this is a fraction of the budget they've had in the past few years when they've been all in to compete. And as Tim pointed out earlier, 18 members of their opening day roster were in walk years. This is the classic transition roster. This is the classic prove me wrong roster, or we'll blow the damn thing up roster. And I think you're 100% right. But I also think that they had a chance and maybe still have a chance to prove somebody wrong, at least wrong enough to maybe earn a couple of contracts and maybe avoid at least a big sell-off.
All right. I want to go back to COVID for a moment, because a story broke this evening that the AP was covering in Buffalo. The Erie County Executive Director, Mark Pollenkars, announced tonight, our goal is to have 100% full capacity for all Bills and Sabres games starting in the fall. However, we will not allow anyone into our stadium unless you are fully vaccinated and can prove it with a digital vaccination card. Ticket holders entering Highmark Stadium for the NFL or the KeyBank Center for NHL will be asked to show their digital proof they are fully vaccinated using New York State's Excelsior Pass cell phone app. Both venues are owned by Erie County. There will be zero religious or other exemptions. It is not, quote, there is no God-given right to attend a football game, he said. We will make zero exceptions. What happens if a player says, I'm playing in that game and I'm not vaccinated?
It's two different things. It's apples and oranges. They have a union. They do have a right to say, no, we're not going to do that. But a private business that sells a ticket can decide whether to sell you that ticket or not. Same way as a restaurant, you know, no shirt, no shoes, no service. You got to follow, a certain level of standard that they set.
I'll bring this up too. Gordon, you mentioned union. Ian Happ, the Cubs union rep, was asked about this on Monday night, and he said, I'm not speaking for the union. What he's saying is what the union sentiment is believed to be is that no one is being forced in the MLBPA. None of the players are being forced to get vaccinated, and they're not going to lean one way or another. So if that's the case, then I don't know. What does happen if all of a sudden Chicago says you have to be vaccinated to get into games and the union isn't having one way or the other? That's something that's interesting to me.
Yeah, I think, that Erie County rule doesn't apply to players, right, Cap?
It does not say yet. The Sabres announced last month they would allow fans to attend games this month, the final month of the NHL regular season, if they could provide proof of vaccination or a recent negative COVID-19 test result. But it says Erie County's vaccination rule will not affect the remainder of this current season. It will go into
place. I think, nobody, none of these organizations or counties, they're not going to get involved with trying to police the players of these teams. And again, that would be such a messy issue to get into. If they're allowing fans in because they show proof of vaccination, then they're obviously allowing the games to be played. And that's according to, whatever the league rules and protocols are. So yeah, players, no, but I think they're totally justified in setting whatever standard they want for safety. And if that's vaccinations, I think that's fair.
I wonder if we will see Cubs, White Sox, Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks. I wonder if we're going to see that in Chicago, because Buffalo is a pretty large market. It's not huge, but it's not tiny either.
Yeah, but it's just small enough that I think they can, I think you can put down the blowback a little bit better there. I think that would be tough to do tougher to do in a New York and a Chicago, unless you had closer to a unanimous or consensus opinion from the authorities. And actually Chicago and Illinois, you might get that, who knows, but, and maybe that becomes, right now they're allowing 25% with spacing and everything at the two baseball stadiums. Maybe that's the stipulation of getting over 50% or allowing full capacity is, at least a level of vaccinations, I don't know what that would be. It does seem to be at least one blueprint that's now out there.
Right. I mean, they're the first one taking a step to this level that you get to the gate with your whatever amount of money you paid for your amazing 50-yard line seat. Oh, you haven't been vaccinated? No, I don't believe in it. Beat it. I mean, it could become sticky.
Yeah, but again, fine, then go watch the game on TV. Agreed. I mean, that's a decision. It's a decision you make, but that doesn't mean that a private business is legally required to allow you in or to partake of whatever it is they're selling.
I agree.
You don't, So yeah, you make that choice and go watch them on TV. Go watch them in a sports bar.
Unprecedented times. I was going to say unprecedented times call for unprecedented measures, man. So it's just, we're all learning more about everything every by the day. So I see why they're doing this. I mean, you got to do what you think you have to do at this point.
Well, we've got no Kyle Hendricks tonight. We'll keep you posted here on the My Teams app on an NBC Sports Chicago.com. Gordon and Tim and Maddie Lee will be all over this. Follow us all on Twitter. I'm at the Capman. He's at G-Dub Cub. Tim, you're at Tim Stebbins.
Tim_Stebbins.
And follow all of us. Make sure if there's breaking news, we will have it for you. But we've got the Cubs and the Brewers, a day off on Thursday, and then the Braves come to town. They've got a nationally televised game on Sunday.
Hey, let me throw one more promo in.
Yep.
Go read Tim's story on why the Cubs did not call up Nico Hoerner when Matt Duffy went on the COVID list, and they called up Vargas instead. Tim's got a story on that. It's worth looking at if you're following Nico Hoerner.
All right, looking forward to that. Everyone seems to think his service time is being suppressed. So read.
I don't think so.
I don't either. Read Tim Stebbins' story. And for Gordon, for Tim, for Tony, and for Joe, and for Maddie Lee, I'm David Kaplan. This has been another fun edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, with free ATMs nationwide. We will see you later in the week on the Cubs Talk Podcast.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know business.